Let's get going. Well, thank you. I know there'll be people coming in. If it gets too noisy, feel free to shut one of the doors. And I'm going to let you know ahead of time that this room only gets light and dark on both sides separately, but not dark in the front. So the Ballsboro will turn that in as a facility repair suggestion in the future. But so we have three speakers, and it's half an hour, but we'll try for 20 minutes for sharing, 5 minutes for QA, and then whoever's next, feel free to come up here. It's not being rude to download them and upload yours. And then we'll have that next one started in 30 minutes. So Oscar's our first, and instead of me butchering titles and names, I'm just going to say, hey, you, it's all yours.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for coming. Well, first of all, I am not a Pentecostal theologian.
Whoa.
I am a Christian. But I do respect a lot my Pentecostal friends. And even though my denomination is not very fond of Pentecostals, I also was trained as an undergrad in InterVarsity. So I learned that I have to respect all other members of the whole body of Christ that are not part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, that is my connection. So, well, so you may forgive me, Dr. Young. Yeah. Okay. Well, I am a PhD candidate in interdisciplinary ecology at the University of Florida, and my research deals with bird ecology. And I am also a conservation biologist. I was born in Peru, and that's home for me. So I have been, all this time that I have received the Lord Jesus as my savior, and since I started to become a biologist, I have tried to promote the conservation of nature through the church. That's for me, that is creation care. So I have been trying to encourage the church in Peru to get involved in conservation. So I have been publishing some stuff since the 90s with the World Vision, a chapter of a book. Also in the first issue of the Journal of the Peruvian Ecological Society, they allowed me to publish how should be the worldview of conservation based in the Bible. That was good. And we also published with the leaders of the Peruvian the Bible United Society of Peru, a booklet for the church on how to conserve creation. Later, I could publish a book with Dave Simmons. Well, some of you that have been long-time members of the American Scientific Association may know him. And we published a book in Spanish about the science of the Bible. It was published in Spain, so it has not too much diffusion in America. Well, I have also a paper on how to engage evangelicals for creation care. That was my first English papers here on PSF. And the last issue of God and Nature magazine, I just put an essay of how not to engage in angry discussions for these topics. So God has allowed me to get into a different churches from my own denomination and different denominations, and even in the church buildings, in doing some sermons as an invited lecturer, also doing some field trips with the youth of the church, and recently this year in the brand new Evangelical University of Peru, Universidad CEL, that means Seminario Evangelico de Lima, Evangelical Seminar of Lima, that has been a seminar for 80 years or so. And this is the first year where it has upgraded to a university, and I was hired as the first biology teacher there. Well, so, but my topic is on what is going on in the tropical Andes. The tropical Andes is the place where I selected to do my PhD dissertation in the ecology of mountain birds there. But I selected a specific area in the Andes here, the middle of the Peruvian country. Here we have striking differences of ecosystems, where the Puna grasslands convert to the mountain forest. And this is this sort of gradient harbors a very important endemic biodiversity. That means plants and animals that are nowhere else found in the world. So I selected this place also because that is an important bird area. But also, this is a place where there have been people all the time. And for 400 years, the local people there have been Roman Catholic. But just recently, in these few decades, I have seen, the time that I have been there, a massive conversion through evangelicalism and mainly Pentecostal. Yeah. So I'm going to present my case here. So what's going on with the Pentecostals in the Andes? Let's see if, I don't know if this is going to work. Similar as American service? Well, well, what's going on with these guys there? Those are the people who I have to live with in their lands, in their homes, in their towns for 4 years that I have been doing my dissertation. And I'm going to stress one point here. I'm now going to talk as a conservation biologist. Why we have to deal with the Pentecostals in the Andes, in the point of view of a conservation biologist. They are living in the land that we want to conserve. They are using the resource that we want to protect. They are growing exponentially in the Andes, in the Amazon. They are a close community that want to live in high morals. They emphasize a radical conversion to become better in this particular region. They usually have leaders that are following without questioning, and they are gaining social and political power. And my point here, as I have presented a paper that is in review in the Journal of the Association of Tropical Biologists, co-authored by Gillian Prance, who is, maybe you, some of you know it, the former head of the Kew Botanical Gardens. We have to win Pentecostals in the Andes for the conservation cause. Well, how do we do that? I already set up a framework for doing this in my paper in PSCF, Engaging Evangelical Superior of Creation Care. And this is how I approach them while I get into this region of Peru, Huánuco, and that is a region where I didn't have any ties. I didn't have any relatives. I never was there. I was all over the country doing research, but I didn't know anybody there. So what I did when I first approached this region was I needed to look for potential partners, as I am set up here. And because I was a member of InterVarsity, I looked out who was the leader of the InterVarsity group in the local universities in this area. Well, and I find him. I just ask him, like, can you help me? I would like to, first of all, get around, know the area, and contact a local church. And also, well, I need help for doing my research. And he was working in an NGO that is very well known in this area. The name of the NGO is Paz Esperanza, that means hope and peace. And this is a social evangelical NGO that they are doing very good things for social justice. And I did contact the leaders there. And well, I asked him if creation care will be something of their interest. And they say yes. And that is also part of what we were supposed to do. But we cannot do that because nobody knows how to do this. Okay. So I tell them, well, let's get the leaders of this region of Huánuco that have a lot of
evangelicals, they are growing exponentially as all the data is showing to us. And let's join them in a workshop to address all the problems that we have there. And yeah, they organized the workshop. I did the presentation there, and 20 pastors and leaders of very different denominations came. And this is the lady who was preaching, yeah, in the former video. That is the wife of the Pentecostal pastor that was leading one of the most well-known rural Pentecostal churches there. Well, and when I started my research, I needed to find out a place where I have to live and look for my birds and look for everything that I needed for my dissertation. And thanks to these contacts, I could find out a local guide, and that was the house of the people that host me all the time that I went for doing my research at 11,000 feet in the Andes, freezing cold. But at the other side of this mountain, it was the mountain forest, full of very nice birds there, and it was very nice. But the problem is that this little house, and this is the house that they built for me. And well, that was excellent, but no air conditioning, no internet, no bathroom, no. But they were very grateful, and I am very grateful to them for sharing with me what they did not have. And well, I hired them so I could live there, and also I did work. I was invited to work in the local university as a natural science professor. So I accepted that position for the time that I was doing my dissertation, with the requirement that the student should go with me there and do their fieldwork there. And they hated that for the time they were there, freezing cold. But later they loved me because they learned a lot. So part of the time that I was doing, I was there, I was not just counting birds. I was not just looking for plants or all the interactions that we're supposed to do when you study ecology. I also have to dedicate time to interact with the local community there. And here, for example, those children came from the local school of the nearest town that was 2 hours walking. The professors and the students came 2 hours uphill. That is nothing for them. They could climb at the top of the mountain and come back in less than an hour. I would die. But it was very nice, so I could show them my research, what I'm doing, and I was free to tell them we should protect the Lord's creation. And also, for doing research in that area, I got the permits of the government for doing research. I did introduce myself to the local authorities there. They had an office of natural resources, and I found out that they were very willing to have this forest be protected. That is not a protected area by the Peruvian government, but that has been in paper for a long time, but they didn't have all the biological data to support that should be a protected area. So I went there, and I just gave them all my material and said, please, use it. No? And they are building a case for making this forest a protected area. And I also organized it with these authorities, some workshops, and also we let people from the city, that is 2 hours downhill, to the forest. I'm there, leading the group there. And that was the first time that so many local people from the city came to this area because the peasants that live close by, they said, the only people that come here just once or twice a month are the gringos that came just for looking for birds. We never have seen the people from the city coming here.
Well, so why did they come?
Because I asked them to come so they could look at the forest that they were trying to protect. We organized a workshop in the city, that is Huánuco, and Huánuco is in a subandean valley that the temperature is warm, and they don't have nothing of forest, they all denuded, but just 2 hours climbing up uphill, you do find a very, very different ecosystem. For them it's like, I don't know, just going to the moon or very different place. Well, and when I was more or less well known because of my interaction with the local community and with the Christians there, I was invited by that lady, that the wife of the pastor, of this church, the Church of Prophecy. And in that valley, Huánuco, this is one of the, well, this is the largest rural church. And they invited me as a guest speaker for the anniversary. An anniversary of the church in this region, that means that they have 3 days or 5 days where all the members of this denomination and also other members that are from the Pentecostal denomination or other denominations come and worship and want to learn and to be trained. They stop their activities just for that that moment. Some of these people may walk a whole day, leaving their crops, leaving their animals, but they don't have even has to be cared for somebody else, just to hear the speakers there. Well, the main speaker was not me, was this guy that he's a very well-known speaker in the Church of God of Prophecy of in Peru. And I still remember him very well because when he speak, my ear just almost broke. But well, and that is the well, that is the frontis of the church. I don't know if can any of you read the Spanish. Do you find anything weird in the name? Can any read the Spanish? Well, if you can read well Spanish, the name is wrong. Prophecy should, profecía in Spanish should be with C, not with S. And nobody cares. Why was that? Because Huánuco in Peru is the region that has the largest population of illiterate people. More, almost 40 or 50% do not know how to read and write. And here are the poorest of the poor in the Andes. So, I was invited there, and I was programmed to speak 2 days after this anniversary started. There were almost 300 people there. I'm there, and this is one of the pastors. They treat me like a missionary. I explain them. Well, yes, I am. I have the mission of protecting plants and birds. So yeah, I'm a missionary here. The main point of the topic of this conference was not to take care of the environment or science and Christianity. The main point for them was this: family and holiness. Yeah, that was the main stress for them. The speakers came from Lima, to this region. Lima is 10 hours travel by bus crossing the Andes. And they have a specific messages for men: do not mistreat your wife. Why? Because family violence in this region is very common. It's also part of the culture. And they say that's wrong, that has to change. Something that even surprised me is when they address to women, they say, do not marry young, get a profession. That's really odd in that culture because, well, for women, if they don't know how to read and write, they never have gone to school, they say, well, let's just marry, have children, and your life is over. Mm-hmm. But the pastor said, no, don't do that. Improve yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, that was good. Oh, of course, everybody, live a life without sin. And, before going there, I have some concerns about, I didn't have too much reference about this Pentecostal denomination. And maybe some of you know that there are some other so-called Pentecostal churches that advocate for the prosperity gospel. And the main point for them is, well, just give me your money and God will make you rich. Well, that was not the discourse of them. They did not endorse fatalism. They didn't say, okay, Jesus come, let's do nothing. No, they never said that. Mm-hmm. They also did not endorse prosperity gospel. They didn't talk about that. And so my point is, how do I gain these brothers and Christians in Christ for conservation? How am I going to interact with them if they have a very different culture than me? Yeah? More than 300 people, most of them didn't have a Spanish as their main language. They speak the language of the Incas, Quechua. Well, in the time that I was there, I could learn some words. No? So I could let's say hello, I could say my name is Dad, I'm studying not the name of the players or plants in Quechua, so they could know that. Large number of them were illiterate. So if I am going to, for example, in the workshop that I did with the pastors there in the city, well, I prepared a written survey and asked for their opinions there. That would never work here. No. They don't know how to read and write. So, no. And they were expecting a sermon. These people, as I am telling you, all year long, they work too hard in the field. They are planting potatoes, they are raising their cattle, and they have this specific time of the year when they have reserved this place to go and worship the Lord and to hear the voice of God through their pastors. So that's what they were expecting. They were not expecting a technical lesson. Something else. I'm not wrong here, no? They learn with emotions. They wanted to shout and praise the Lord with all their heart. So if I am not going to do something like that, they will never hear me. So, well, then after 2 days, and after hearing the former speakers, I came here, and I have to talk on this. Why should I conserve creation? Why Christians should conserve nature? Then, first of all, I have to introduce myself and saying, brothers and sisters here, look, who I am. I am a biologist. Do you know who is a biologist? A biologist is somebody who is doing the work of Adam. Look at your Bible here. He is somebody who is putting the names on the animals and putting the name on the birds. Also, he's somebody who is doing the work of Solomon. Solomon was doing a dissertation. I'm doing a PhD dissertation here. A dissertation on the plants and birds. Also, brothers and sisters, I am doing what Jesus said that we have to do here.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Well, amen. That has to be my talk. If not, they will just leave. Well, so when I mention, okay, so is the environment in the Bible? Yes, is the Lord's creation. It is here. It's in the Psalms. And then I address, well, we have a problem with creation. The Lord has given us this creation so we can manage it. But we are doing things wrong. We are changing the weather. We are changing the climate. And, well, I don't know about here that there is a lot of sensitive sins among evangelicals, but there, to these people, you don't have to convince them that there are climate change. They are living that. They know that it is not raining when it is supposed to rain. They know that the plants wither. They know that some of the orchards are not producing fruit because the weather is not as it used to be. So I said, look, we are doing this wrong. And here is a judgment if you are mistreating the land. Also, something else. Because they are in a mountain area in the Andes, landslides are very common. Then I pointed, well, does the Bible talk about this? Said, yeah, look here, look. Jesus says that you should not build where you shouldn't build. If you build in a place where you should not build, your house is going to be destroyed. And that is happening all the time when you are building. You are denuding the forest and landslide come. And here, what the Bible says about you? You're a fool. Then, about water management, look, they depend heavily on water. These people depend on water from the ravines, from the rivers, from the lagoons that are at the top of the mountains. And I said, this is what the Lord said on waters in Psalms 104. So what happens if you do not take care of water? You are going to suffer. All wildlife conservation guard appointed them that we have to we have to protect the land that we should. We have to protect animals, pollution, and natural resource management. I pointed out some verses of the Mosaic Law, and that we should be stewards of creation. Yep, I'm going to run. So, after that, well, the pastor said to me, oh, are you sure that you're not Pentecostal? No? well, I said, well, I'm just sharing the Bible here. Well, I pick up some theological issues. What they are very coincident with, they do agree that we have to take care of creation, okay? We have to be stewards, we have to be, nature has to be administered by men. But they also say that in nature, everything has an order and purpose, so there's no chance. The book of Genesis has to be interpreted literally. And they also say that before I talk, they were a bit suspicious about me because they knew that I was a scientist. And they said that for them, science is against God. But after I talked, said, oh, well, you're a deception here. So. And about practical issues, I found out a bit more of the conservation problems at in this region. That the forest for them is valuable because they have timber and firewood. For them, doing good forest management is planting pine and eucalyptus. And that is wrong. Those are exotic species that really are damaging this environment. But they also say something else. Why they don't use natural trees, native trees? Because they are sensitive to diseases. And they acknowledge that farmers need training. And they also acknowledge something very important, that when they have renewed the forest, there is less water in the soil. So they do recognize that that is something that they have to be taken care of. But also, I found out something that you will not find it in a natural history manuals, that the government, the previous government, long time ago, gave a commandment to renew the forest so they could use the land, because that was the perception of property. So, I'm going to close to finish here. I think that it's possible to get allies. This is the minister that was invited here. Or for this meeting, the Pentecostal churches in the Andes could be very important allies in conservation. And you can reach them, you can gain them for conservation if you use the creation care doctrine. Because they are going to feel that that is part of their moral obligation. But consider this, in this case, Andean Pentecostal learn with emotions. And I think there is no need to challenge their literal interpretation of the Bible, if you are just going to gain them for conservation purposes. In this last slide, I would like you to pray for my former field assistant, Clever Jagas. This was the youngest son of the family that hosted me in this place for 3 years, and he became my my mentee in birding. And after 3 years, he was working as a field guide for tourists in the area. And also something else. During that time, part of his family was saved. His uncle became a Pentecostal pastor, and also a large part of his family. And he also decided to give his life to Christ. And when, after he was trained, he decided, and I convinced him, that he had to come back to school, because he just abandoned the school, because he had to work. They were very poor. But well, now his parents are investing in his education. But when I asked him, so now, what are your plans? What would you like to do after you finish your studies? He told me, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a Pentecostal pastor. Why? I said. Because that will be the best way that I can influence my people so they will not destroy the forest that is the Lord's creation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
thrust two-pronged that you care for creation because it's God's and He wants it to be cared for, and also because it's good for you, or do you just emphasize one or the other? Because, for example, if you care for creation, you'll have more clean water and you'll have more durable crops and et cetera, et cetera. Which thrust do you take, or do you do both?
Well, I did both, but I did emphasize for them what God wants, because at that moment they were looking for that. I want to know what God wants for me. That's why they came to that conference, that annual meeting, no? Because they were looking for what do the Lord wants for me. And well, I said, I do interpret the Bible in this way. God wants you to take care of His creation, and that is also good for you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Oscar. I really appreciate it. I wish we had more time, but please keep asking them. Here's your phone back.